Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Well, it's another lovely Thursday evening down at the Jersey Shore. And it is really lovely out. The sun is out. We've been having an unbelievable heat wave. So if you like the heat and the sun, you're out there getting suntanned. Anyway, without further ado, I want to introduce my guest this evening. My guest this evening is living where my second home is, and that's in California. And so I didn't live in Sacramento, but anyway, without further ado, here we go, I'm repeating myself, is Charlie Simmons, a.k.a. Charlie West. I think he used as maybe a stage or a studio or industry name. So welcome, Charlie.
Hello, Nancy. I just have one correction. Simmons is two M's. Mine is one M. So it's just, so it's Simons.
Oh, it's pronounced Simons. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yep.
Well,
S-I-M-O-N-S.
Yeah. That's, well, thank God I didn't put two M's in it because I did
yeah.
promote it correctly. What I did.
And you
was,
did, and I appreciate that. I shared it on my page as well, which is really nice.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot of times too, it's funny because I remember looking at it where you actually do put a how to pronounce it in your about.
Yes.
And
yes.
I must say that that's my problem because I don't pay attention to it, and I should because I would have known that it was Simons and not Simmons if I had done that. Anyway,
you know what, Nancy? I never have a problem with anybody doing something like that or not catching something that you put. Well, all you had to do was read it. All you had to do was look at it. But let's take, for example, the grocery stores. I don't know if they're doing it out on the East Coast, but out here, they're putting these little footprints down on the floor, applique thing to show you which direction to walk and where to stop.
Right.
And one aisle goes one way, and the other aisle goes the other, and nobody can be any closer than 6 feet apart. How many times do we have so much stuff coming at us? Advertising, billboards, radio, commercials, breaking news, and they were supposed to notice these little footprints on the floor.
Yeah, I don't
blame you. So Simon Simmons, whatever.
Yeah, well, listen, I'm going to say, well, I saw Paul Simons when he sang in, where was I, New Jersey, yeah, before I moved to California. I saw Paul Simons do a concert at a local club, and he was wonderful. So now I know it's Simons and not Simmons, and there is a big difference, definitely. And I'm okay with it. Look, I'm not perfect. Maybe one day I will be when Christ comes back, but not until then.
Amen.
I make mistakes.
Amen.
And you know what? They're little ones, so I'm okay with that. Listen, I want to tell my people a little bit about why I chose you to be on my show. I've been in radio now going, this is over my seventh year now, and to me that's pretty long. I guess at 10 years I can say, wow, you know, that's really something. But the thing is this. When you answered me, when I invited you to be a guest, you said, little old me, like, what do you want from little old me? I thought, well, number one, it's not little old you because you're a big guy. Number two, what happened is, I'm going to explain this because it's important. It will tell a little bit about you. And I didn't do really an introduction, which I usually do an introduction about my guests. So I didn't get to do that. So I'm going to do it right now real fast. I was just kind of, things come across my news feed. And for some reason, your trip came across my news feed. And
uh-huh.
It looked like you were doing things that, like, I, you know, are on my bucket list to do. I mean, I've done some of them. I've traveled cross country. I drove back San Diego myself with my animals to New Jersey, where I grew up.
Wow.
And,
that's quite a trip.
What was that for? Hey,
that
was
is quite a trip.
Not Jersey. But anyway, we'll
yeah.
ignore that noise. Charlie, I saw you, like, horseback riding, and you were taking a trip. And I thought, and then I went to your Facebook page right away. So I went to your Facebook page, and I looked at all you're about, and I said, oh, wow, he has a lot of experience in being a DJ, being a radio show host, you know, doing voiceovers, doing TV, you know, doing videos and TV. And I just said, I really kind of like this guy. I think he would be great to have on my show because I have had other broadcasters. I've even mentored a few people into broadcasting and who are doing very well. And one with New Jersey Discover TV right now. And so that's why I chose you. It was just sort of kind of like a meant to be thing. And I'm in, like I said, 7 years is a long time. And I was running out of musicians, and then I started doing a lot of other people. So, Charlie, just tell us about you, because we did talk a little bit on the phone. I did call you, because I really, to tell you the truth, I've been back in Jersey for a while now, and I knew almost every single person that I was interviewing through my music, actually. And we'll talk about that another time. I'm going to actually send you my album after the show. But
oh, very good.
So tell me, yeah, and it's country rockabilly, so I think you're going to really like it. So tell me now, I'm going to ask you the question. Who influenced you the most? Because, I saw you were, like, you know, entertaining at 8 years old. You knew we were going to be, you know, doing this, so talking. So, and being in, you know, the public eye. So the question is, who influenced you the most while growing up and why?
It's such a odd beginning to my life and how I grew up and divorced parents and moving around. I went to a different high school for every year I was in high school, custody battles between my parents for my brother and me. It was just a very tumultuous childhood. Then going to school, because I was kind of the loudest one in the classroom. I was always getting in trouble, always getting bad grades. Every report card said Charles could be a straight A student if only he would apply himself. But I never applied myself. But the one constant growing up, the one man that I knew would always be there for me, the one man who took the time, no matter what, to teach me things that he knew and that he thought were important and that I could use later on as an adult, was my grandfather on my mom's side. My grandfather on my dad's side died before I was born. He was a stud. I wish I could have met him. He was an actual decorated war hero with the Army. But on my mom's side, my grandfather, his name is Lee, and my middle name is Lee because of him. And he was oh, my goodness. How do you describe him? He was kind of a typical Oklahoma cowboy. That's where he's from, a little town called Clayton, Oklahoma. And he is the stereotypical Woody Guthrie, riding the rails out to California to find work and then riding the rails back all the way to Oklahoma to load up. They sold everything that what they couldn't. They strapped it onto their Dodge and what they couldn't get onto the Dodge, they just left it behind. And they took Route 66 from Oklahoma all the way to California. I'm telling you, it's just like all the songs, right? There was definitely a Grapes of Wrath kind of string in my family on my mom's side. But my grandfather, Lee Meadows, he was half Cherokee, half Irish, and just a tough guy. Guy went during the Second World War and just tough as nails. But boy, I'll tell you what, he and I had a relationship that I hope everybody would have that kind of relationship with at least one of their close family members.
Right.
A wonderful man. Wonderful man.
That's why
that's who did it for me. Absolutely.
That's a great story. And I thought I knew Lee came in somewhere and I kind of figured that it was probably a middle name and from someone, but
because the way I spell my name's Charles Lee, so I just spell it LEECHARLEE, and that's all for my grandfather.
Creative, very creative. And you were very fortunate that you had a mentor like that in your family. I like his last name, Meadows, too. But
yeah.
And so Oklahoma, now did he end up, you said he was in the Navy. So did he, do you know if he was in the Naval Academy in San Diego? Because it is in San Diego, the Naval Academy.
Los Angeles.
You know
he was put to work building ships during the Second World War.
And that's, okay, and that's why you're up in Sacramento area?
No, that was down in Los Angeles where they wound up, and that he went to work in the shipyards for the Navy.
Oh, okay.
But what they did what just about every single other Okie and Arkie who came out in the 30s and 40s tried to escape the Dust Bowl of Oklahoma and Arkansas. They landed in Los Angeles. After the Second World War was over, everybody, all GIs coming home, economy's booming. They couldn't afford to live in Los Angeles anymore. So they all went over the grapevine and wound up in Bakersfield. Anyone know Bakersfield?
Oh, Bakersfield.
Bakersfield.
Show of hands. Well, yeah, because I lived in San Diego, so I know where Bakersfield is, yeah. There's a Bakersfield, by the way, in North Carolina, too. Of course, there's probably a lot of Bakersfield.
I did not know that. But that's where I grew up, and that's all I knew of my grandfather, Bakersfield.
That's great. That's a good story. I loved, you know, I was very fortunate to know both of my grandfathers, and I was also very fortunate to have and most awesome father, who's Irish, German, Irish and German, and his mother actually, he had Austrian in him too, because his great grandfather was from Austria, and his great grandmother was from Germany. So they are border towns, but they still consider them. This is a problem. This is an existing problem. This gets at the core of why people don't get along, is because they always want to be different and unique. Like I looked it up. I just see down the line, Irish German on both sides, because my mother was Irish German, my father was Irish German. My uncle puts up this: Nancy, you're Irish Austrian, unless you have some German in your family that I don't know about. And he was married to my father's youngest sister. This gets confusing, but to make a long story short, I said okay, and he puts it public, you know, on my public, you know, on Facebook. So I send back, okay, well, I'll look into that. And then I did look into it and find out, which was great, that my great-grandfather on my father's side was from Austria, on his, you know, his mother, whatever.
Wow. Have you ever been able to go to Austria to see what it was like?
But no, but I've been to Ireland. So, and I want to go to Germany, and I have a cousin that lives
too.
In Germany now. For years and years and years. I mean, her whole life. So I'll make it there. But getting back to this thing about what I wanted to say was, when I looked it up, they were saying, although Germany and Austria are border towns, they have different cultures. They speak different dialects. They focused on the differences. Like, oh, we're different, and that's a major problem in the universe, and it's coming to a huge head now about the difference, because people just don't accept it. Like, people, why do they think that they have to be so different and unique? We're none of us. We're all, I don't know, I can't, I don't want to get on the soapbox. I don't, but the little typical throw out there of people need to get with the program. We're all human beings, you know, and we're on this earth, on this planet together. And that's it. We have to learn to get along and respect, no matter what, no matter what color you are, where you came from. Sure, it's nice to have pride and, I came from the Jersey Shore, Asbury Park, one of the most famous, you know, tourist attractions in the world. Wow, big deal. It's so what? It's like we don't choose where we're from. So, Charlie, getting back to you, 8 years old, you knew you were going to be a broadcaster, I guess, something like that.
Didn't come till later, but I started learning the trumpet when I was seven. I played trumpet, drums, piano, and harmonica by the time I made it to high school. And then I played professionally for a while, and then I realized, I don't like this at all. I want to do something more than just blow into a horn to engage with people, because you don't engage with people that way. And right about that time when I went to college, I was actually, believe it or not, I was wanting to become a marine biologist. because I love John Steinbeck's book called Cannery Row, and there was a character in there called Doc in that book, and he was a marine biologist. Now, that's it. That's what I want to do.
Right.
Where that came from, just the book. That was the influence that good literature can have. But when I got to college, I had already signed up for all the classes to send me in that direction. And then about a week into it, 2 weeks rather, I met the instructor for the radio and television at that college. His name was Dave Steele. And he was like a character out of a movie. And I just thought he was so engaging and funny. And he said, why don't you come sit in on one of my classes? And I did that afternoon. And the very next day, I went and canceled all my other classes. And I took every single one of his classes in one semester.
What?
Yeah, to one semester. They said, well, we can't allow you to do that unless the inspector says okay. So I went to Dave Steele and said, here's what I want to do. And he goes, okay, I'll sign it. And that's what I did.
That's
and
great.
Before the first semester was up, I was doing the morning show on the college radio station. Then before the second semester was up, I had my first professional job. So it was just like boom, boom, boom. I guess if anyone, you know, the whole thing about, if you love what you're doing, you never work a day in your life.
That's true.
Because it's not work.
I like
it's not work because you love it, right?
That's right.
Well,
yeah,
not all of us get blessed with being able to have a career that they absolutely love. So I'm one of those that has been blessed, and I thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for it. I've had such a great adventure, such a fun life, and it's not over yet.
No, it's not over. No, it's not over till. What does this mean? It's not over till the fat lady sings. Is that from a play or something? I never understood that cliche. What the heck does that mean?
Okay, well, being a television guy, I can explain that to you. Kate
Good.
Smith was really well known for singing the national anthem. Television stations could not broadcast all night long. They had to sign on in the morning and then sign off at night. And the majority of the networks and local affiliates played Kate Smith's version singing the national anthem, and then they would sign off their broadcast day. So it's not over until the fat lady sings comes from television.
Okay, great. Now I know, because I always wondered
she was
what
rather,
the heck is...
Yeah, Kate Smith
yeah,
was rather
have,
large
have
and
you.
In charge.
Exactly, yes, and you know... You know, God bless you, Kate, up in heaven. But, you know, I always wondered, like, she had a very unusual voice.
Mm-hmm.
And
very,
very
wonderful.
Very, very powerful.
Powerful.
For sure.
Very,
very
powerful.
Powerful.
Yeah, like,
presence.
Like
very
Ethel Merman kind of power.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that you know, that's a great story from just within a day or two, you had that chance that you didn't have to go through all of college and then say, wait a minute, because I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and I had one in particular that, you know, was studying, she was really studying something to do with oceanography because it was like actually mapping under the oceans, mapping them, you know, and then, you know, she did all this studying and she went to Boston University and I'm not going to mention her name and I love you so much. And she decided, I don't know, after she took a little trip and decided to investigate a few different countries and she came back and she totally got into a different career that she studied for so many years. And it's not a waste, of course, because everything leads you. I mean, I believe everything leads you, you know, to become where you're supposed to be and a better person. So all the studying that she did, I'm not saying that's not worth it, but you know, you found out really soon. And that happened with me in a little bit of a different way. But anyway, now she's a holistic therapeutic practitioner, and she does everything. I mean, from organic, you know, gardening to feng shui and all of these unbelievable things that she does, Shinjin Jitsu. And she's a great gal and very knowledgeable and has a lot of wonderful clients. And so, you know, she's successful in her own right. And she found, thank God, and she was still young, she found her career that could say what you say, like she's loving what she's doing. So that's really awesome. Because like you said, so many people live work their whole lives, and like that song that Dolly Parton wrote, working 9 to 5, you know, what a way to make a living. So many people live their lives that way and are miserable, and it's a shame, but they have no other choice, I guess. I don't know. But here we go. I retired really young, and I came back to New Jersey because I'm the there's 8 of us, but I'm the oldest girl, and my older brother and then me. And I said to my mom in a moment, I always say this, forgive me, Mom, for saying in a moment of insanity, but I only say that because I love San Diego so much, and the weather I like too. And back here, it's so hot and humid, and it's not that way in San Diego. It's hot and hot, and it's not humid. So for me,
it's nice. Year round, the average temperature is about 78 degrees. It's just fantastic.
Well, I also lived, I lived 20 minutes to Tijuana, and I lived 10 minutes from the beach. I always have to be by the ocean. I'm 10 minutes from the ocean right now, and I was 10 minutes from the ocean in San Diego. It was just beautiful, and the people were different. Sorry, New Jerseyans. I'm a New Jersey gal. I've changed a bit, though. 28 years in San Diego, I have changed my personality a bit. In a good way. I said that being in California in San Diego for 28 years had a good effect on my personality. And I think it was because, I don't really share this very often, but I will tonight. I worked in 2 ministries when I was in California. So I was raised in parochial school, so I had 11 years of that under my belt. And then I went to work for a church, a Tyrian church, and I was with them for 6.5 years. And after that, I did volunteer with the Franciscan monks in Oceanside, where I live, for 5.5 years. So I have like a lot, I have seriously considered. No, I'm not going to go any further with that. Let's just put it this way. I mellowed out a lot. And the people in San Diego, because the weather's so beautiful, are naturally happier. They're happier. I want to get off that mode of that. Because, you know, we all can't live where we want. I probably wouldn't go back to San Diego, but I wouldn't mind checking out Santa Cruz or Monterey. Someday, so that's on my bucket list to check it out. But Charlie, back to your career and what you do, because this is about you. But I talk a lot. I have chatter teeth. Here, I'm going to play them. Hold on. Do you remember the chatter teeth? Those red chatter teeth. Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on. I got to put my phone down for a minute. I used to have an really nice. I forget it. What kind of a microphone it is? It looks like an old fashioned one.
RCA ribbon mic.
I don't know what it is. It looks like, but I had to not use it anymore because I call into my studio with my iPhone, and then when I had that plugged in too, it would like be echoing, and so I had to not use that anymore when I got my new phone. My new phone couldn't keep up with my new phone was too fast. But listen, here we go, folks. This is it. These are my chatter teeth. There we go. So I have them right in front of me so I don't talk so much. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So Charlie, I had that experience. I released 3 songs over 7.5 years ago, and I was asked to be on the Joey Reynolds show in New York City in Manhattan. And they said, get that girl to bring that guitar and sing that song in Decision. And from that night, I knew. First of all, I've been listening to him in my car for 6 months and didn't even know who it was. I don't pay attention all the time. I'm kind of flighty that way. And my mind's going a mile a minute on like 3 different subjects at once. So I didn't know who it was, but I recognized his voice when I got to the studio and I said, oh my God, I am in trouble. This guy is so smart, very clever, and funny as heck. Joey Reynolds is his name. And so he's doing, he's doing some shows on Facebook right now. He's still in radio, but he's in the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. So I went on his show, And I knew when I left that show that I was going to have a show. And I was sitting here, and somebody comes on and says, hey, Nancy, if you're out there, Nancy Ryan, this is for you. Message is for you. We want you to come with us. Hamilton Radio, they're the number one internet radio station in the state of New Jersey, and they're above all the national radio stations. So now we get back to you. How old were you when you did your first broadcasted show? Because I'll talk forever, you know, and I don't want to talk about me.
I had my first professional job when I was 19.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been doing this for a while. I won't ask you because, you know, it's not polite to ask people how old they are. But
how old I am? Oh, no, I'll be glad to tell you. My age is currently 39.95 plus tax.
95 plus tax. Get out of here. I'm just looking at this. I'm looking at, oh, it's a good thing this is just on the Blog Talk Radio promo. I'm just looking at this. I put Charlie, okay, Simons, a.k.a. Charlie West, has an extensive background in studio DJ, voiceover, and I put broadcasting instead of broadcasting.
Oh, did you?
Video and TV in capitals. So then I put, as most of you know, I like my guests to tell their own stories. That's when they get a word in edgewise, by the way. But but that's what got you to be on my show is your roadcasting. I think you should do roadcasting now. That should be your new profession, is to get on that road. And how many states did you cover in your trip?
Let's see. Well, of course, California is where I left from. Then Nevada and Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, back to Nevada, then California. Yeah. Yellowstone Natural Park, yeah, in Montana. And that's where I started the whole thing. I was like, I want to go to Yellowstone. And so I travel with my dogs. My boys went with me, and they're great travel companions. And we just had a hoot. It was a hoot.
How many dogs?
A hoot nanny.
Two? You have two dogs?
Say it again.
Do you have two dogs?
What's that? I have two dogs. Well, I have three, actually. I got one big one and two little ones.
Okay, so which ones did you take, the little ones?
Yeah, I took the littles. Big girl stayed with my mom, yeah. She lives about an hour and a half. She lives about an hour and a half away. I always have people ask me that, and my answer is the same. They're that new breed called SPCA.
I love it. It's where everybody should get their dogs. SPCA.
I absolutely agree. I have nothing I like more than seeing breeders put out of business. But there's so many dogs that are just waiting for you to give them a better life at the pound, at the shelter, at the SPCA, whatever you want to call it. Why not take a look? You might fall in love with a pet there. And they have more than just dogs. They, of course, have cats. One SPCA that I got my latest little guy from. They had rabbits. They had a bunch of rabbits in there. They were trying to adopt out.
Right.
Yeah.
I
love them.
Yeah, I actually was a cat socializer at our local SPCA here in Wall. But I only could do it not even under a week because they had so many cats and I have asthma. And I thought I would be able to do it. And after a few days, I just realized I can't do it. I mean, I just
I fully understand. And they desperately need volunteers to do that very thing. They desperately need it. And so you want to do it for the animals, and you want to make their life better until someone can adopt them just by having some human interaction, you know. And they need volunteers all the time. But I'm with you. I don't know if I could do that. I'd be bringing too many home.
Well, that's the thing, too. Luckily, I live where I can't because I adore animals. And when I drove back here, I had two huge – I rescued three enormous – I didn't know they were going to grow so big. The vet said they were between 2 and 3 months old. I got them off of my friend's avocado farm in San Diego. And they grew in – and I knew looking at the paws, I said, oh, goody, because I like big cats. The bigger, the better. So my two cats.
Really?
And I came home and I had a roommate and he goes, I want one. He was a musician, but he also owned a computer, and he was from Los Angeles. I had a big house. Well, it wasn't old, it was a big, beautiful house. But anyway, we lived together for 6 years, and he was my roommate, and he was a musician. We got along great. So I bring these two kits home, and he goes, I want one. I said, but you can't have one, because then if you move, or when you move, you can't take it away. So I went back the next day, and I got another one for him. I had a five-bedroom
house.
So I got him, and so anyway, my last cat, they grew so big. She lived to be 21 and a half years old. She was the most gorgeous calico, beautiful, beautiful girl. And both of my cats were so good. I trained them like dogs, so they were so obedient and loving. And she was just awesome. And it was 2.5 years that I didn't have pets. I kept thinking, when I did, I went to Portland and stayed there for 15 days with my one daughter. Like, I have two daughters and they don't live around me. And so my family mostly, anyway, it's a long story, but I love animals, and I was 2.5 years without an animal. Then COVID came. So I did do a little traveling, but COVID came and now I can't travel. So my sister calls me and says, I have a friend that has a cat, and she really needs a home, this cat. And I'm like, oh, Peggy, I really don't want right now, I don't want to get an animal, because then I won't be able to travel at all. She goes, wait, you can't travel now anyway. So 2 weeks went by.
Yeah, that's right. Can't travel anyway,
it wasn't even maybe 2 weeks. Maybe it was a week and a half. I called the lady. And I had seen the picture, and the cat looked exactly like my Mandy, my other Lorraine's sister, who actually passed away at 15 and a half. She weighed 23 pounds, and she was a tabaco, and I didn't even know what she was until I got this other cat. So I'm happy to say that I went and bought a litter box, and I knew this cat needed a home. They said, oh, the cat's only a year old, but it wasn't. It was 19 months old. But so what? They said the cat wasn't a feral. It was a feral. It had its ear clipped off. And they said it had all its shots. It didn't have all its shots, and I had to take it. But the lady paid me to have her shots. It was no biggie. So I have this cat now. Her name is Bella, and I called her I don't know why I like this name, Mavis. Because I met a Mavis in Texas. When I was in Texas, I did some recording. But then I said, wait, Mavis isn't, I thought it was Celtic, it's not. So I had to change it now. It's Bella Maeve, it's M-A-E-V-E. And Maeve stands and is Irish, not Celtic or Gaelic, or it's just Irish. And it means intoxicating, or she who intoxicates. And that's exactly the kind of cat I have. And she is she needed me. I'm telling you, God has a way. Like, I was praying. I said, God, just help fix them. I can be. I said, God, please send me a little cat, like, on my patio, because that happens, and it happened to me in California. A little baby just showed up on my patio. And I go, wait a minute. How more clear could it be? Your sister called you up and said, we have a cat that needs a home. So
yeah.
I go to sleep. This cat was seven, lived on the streets in Roebling, where my oldest daughter grew up. And the girl that rescued her, her name was Lorraine, and that's my cat's name that died, spelled the same way. It was just, God works in so many mysterious ways. And this poor cat, it went from 7 months old, living on the streets in Trenton, which is not a great place to grow up, but then to living in a house. And they even went, animals that, you know, fixed them, they gave it to a Petco to sell. The Petco, they have a deal that they have to go and look at the house and make sure it's good for the cat or they won't sell it. So they went and they said, okay, well, this is a big house, but it had a little dog that was a part, I don't know what it was. It was just a little poodle mix, I guess. And the cat and the dog, they never socialized them properly. So this poor little baby, my little cat, Bella Maeve, she went from being on the streets for 7 months to living under a bed for a year, and now she is happy as I don't know how to say it anymore because I never curse. Well, I try not to and on the radio anyway. But
yeah,
she's so
yeah.
happy and spoiled, and she doesn't have a barking dog. She doesn't have to hide under a bed and live upstairs under a bed for a year. So, you know, and I always said she needed me because I went. And I said, I could say to the lady, Marcy, Marcy, you want me to come up there? Because I'm totally, animals just come to me and jump all over me because they know I'm an animal lover. So I came up
yeah.
and she was just getting from under the bed. She brought her right over to me and just looked at me like she was taking me home. Anyway,
yeah.
and I just took her. That was it. She didn't even cry. Like I put her in the case, put her in my car. She didn't cry until I got her home. It took 15 minutes to get her home. And she cried a little bit on the way into the, walking her into the, she didn't know where she was going. But once I got her in here, she's the happiest, most spoiled little girl. And she's getting
yeah.
all of the love. And she's teeny. She only weighs 8 pounds, 7 ounces. She's never going to be a big girl. But I fell in love with her eventually, even though she was so scared, you know. She was
yeah, my dad, my brother always said that the luckiest dog in the world is the one that has Charlie as an owner. Because
yeah.
I just, you know, I'm part of the pack. I think more like a dog than I do a human sometimes. And you got to
yeah.
understand how they were created.
Exactly.
They have a real pack mentality, and you got to let them be part of your
right.
pack, and you have to be the alpha, or you're gonna have. That's why you have behavioral problems with dogs. It's really not the dog's
you're right.
fault. It's the,
you're
it's the owner's.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know all about that.
And it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding. And I've had people say, "Yeah, I can't have another dog because it's just too painful when they die." And I said, "Yeah, but think about it. What kind of life would that dog have had for 15, 16 years if you
right.
hadn't adopted
right.
that dog?"
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, we could talk forever because first of all, I talk too much. I know it. I don't know if it'll ever change, Charlie. I swear. I was on my knees. I got down on my knees. I said, "God, please help." I know it's going to be a good show, but you know, just help me stop talking. I don't know what it is. I didn't even eat any chocolate or have any sugar. I don't know why. It's just in my. I get excited. I think it's more nervousness, but I get so excited about just even doing the show alone. I used to do 2-3 shows a month. Now I'm only doing one a month. So I get very excited about the show and about talking to people I trained my two cats, like I said, like they were dogs. My one cat was hysterical. I'd say, "Mandy, it's time for you to go to bed." This is like 2 a.m. because I'm a night person. And she'd just look at me. She was funny. Usually she'd just get up and run and get in her bed. But then, other times she was the only one. She was a little belligerent. And she was the wild one. She was wild. But anyway, she was just laid completely flopped down, 23 pounds worth of her. And she would have her head laying down, and I would just push her, like, with my foot again on the floor because I have wood floors, and she would just stay like that. And she liked it. And I would just, finally, I'd say to her this, "Do you want Squirt?" And she would
Squirt?
Really fast.
The cat's name was Squirt?
I only squirted her once in their whole lives, both of them, once. That's all I had to do. Even with this cat, I squirted her once. Because she was going to jump up. She was getting up. She was looking for this certain toy that I had on my coffee table that I played.
Yeah.
And she had every right to do that. But I don't want her getting up on any. And she's little. And I don't want her getting up and sliding off because I have papers on my coffee table. It's almost my workstation. Like I put all kinds of papers and books and videos I want to watch. I don't want her to slip and fall and hurt herself.
Yeah.
I squirted her once. That's all it took. She's never been got up on it yet. But she's a floor cat anyway. She doesn't jump up on it. She's too little. She doesn't jump up on furniture or countertops. She can't. She's too teeny. But she
mm-hmm.
can run so fast. But anyway, when you're right about that, you got to be part of the pack. And I'll give my sister a shout out. My sister Gina Ryan. She's on Facebook. You should look at her too, Charlie. She owns North Star Collies. She's
well, what's her first name? Where do I've got Facebook
Gina,
right here.
Gina.
How do I find her?
And I'll text it to you. Gina, G-I-N-A, Ryan, mm-hmm. R-Y-A-N. And she owns North Star Collies. And so all of her collies are like champions, of course. And one of them, Ryan, he was at 1 out of 9. He was at Westminster, I think. But anyway, she just knows everything about dogs. And she knows about cats, too. She bought my cat so many great, all 100% natural, you know, holistic, natural, the very best of the best, like treats, salmon treats and all these different hairball treats and all this. Because this cat didn't even have that where she lived. I took her to the vet and they go, oh, she's got tartar. She shouldn't have tartar. She should be having tartar treats from when she can have treats, like when she's 2 months old, whatever. So
yeah.
She doesn't have tartar ever. I never had tartar on my cat. So I'm a real, if I had a house or a farm, which I would love to have, I would have baby goats. I would have a million cats, a million dogs. I would just surround myself with animals because I just am such an animal lover.
Well, that's the danger where I live. I actually live on a 10-acre horse and cattle ranch. So.
Oh, no, don't tell me that. I'll come and visit, but you're, 39. 39, that's too young for me.
$39.95 plus tax.
$39.95 plus tax. That's too,
yes.
That's still too young for me. But anyway, you're so lucky.
Well, the joke is the plus tax, and I'm older than what I say.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm
greatly
tell.
Blessed. Not lucky. This is a blessing that I get to live here because I grew up down in Bakersfield working on ranches in the summer and on weekends when I was even going to school. I just fit right in here.
I know my sister's looking to buy a farm now. And maybe she's going to get mad if I said that and she's listening to the show. She likes to keep her business private. Okay, sorry, but
it.
Well, I can say this, though, that my niece just bought a 3-acre, is it 3 or 6 acres? It has to be 6 acres to be considered a farm. And they're already, they're doing awesome. First of all, they went from having six chickens for a year to having, I don't know, 36 chickens now. Dave and I think they're doing their own bee, making their own honey now, and they're growing every single organic vegetable that you can imagine in the world. I'm looking now for where did I put it? I can't believe that we're going to have to end this show. We'll just go over. We'll just have to go over. I always go over, and they never cut it off. But you're so lucky. But you weren't riding your own horse, obviously, because you were in another. So do you have four horses on your farm?
I have not had a horse of my own since I was a kid. It's a very expensive hobby, so you have to be completely dedicated to that if you're going to do it right. And I used to rope and ride and did some rodeo stuff when I was just a kid. But it's a ranch in Wyoming. The photos that you saw in a little town called Alpine, Wyoming. And I originally from Yellowstone National Park, I went south into Wyoming because I wanted to stay the night and explore around Jackson Hole, Wyoming the next day. Well, I got there that night and rooms were so expensive, the ones that were open. Even the Motel 6 was almost $200 a night.
Oh,
the
that's
Motel
insane.
6. It is insane.
That's insane.
So I said, no, thank you. I might have to sleep in my truck tonight, but no. So the only place on the way out of town, I was just going to continue on my trek south. I stop off at a drive-through restaurant. I'm the last customer. And the manager comes over and he starts talking to me. And I explained to him, I want to stay here tonight. Last time I was here was in the 90s. That's how long it's been. I had no idea that it had grown up into such a ridiculous Aspen, Colorado kind of place. And he goes, you know what? You drive 45, maybe 50 minutes southwest of here, and you'll come to a little town called Alpine. And I know that there are a couple of motels there. Just your typical, like, 1950s motor lodge kind of looking place.
Right.
And
right.
I fell in love with it. And they had this this brochure in the rack in the hotel lobby, motel lobby. You can call it a lobby. And it was horseback riding. and they had one the next day. It was a dinner ride. You leave in the afternoon, you eat dinner up on the mountain, and then you ride back.
I love that. I love that. It's beautiful. That, and that horse that you had, it was Park Clydesdale. That horse was so
Park
cute. I posted that picture when the horse had his head like to the side on you. Oh, that was really sweet picture. That was really
and
nice.
And I think you look at any of those photos, me being on horseback again, all you see is a big smile on me. I just had a great time. I got back to my roots. You know, it was fun.
Definitely, definitely. But I got. Oh, I wanted to say I wish I had a big old, I guess a trailer or so. Or I'd even take my car. I don't care. I'll just put my little baby car. She's so little. She can travel anywhere. And I'm not going to fly anywhere. But I might do some trips. But I don't know where. I'd have to get a pup tent and then just sneak into the woods somewhere and get in my pup tent with my cat. She'd be freaking out, though. She's not like my other cats. My other cats, if they were next to me, they'd be okay. But she's too weird. And I had a bird, a little parrot, Green Sheep Conyer. He lived 2.5 years past his life expectancy. Because my animals are treated like better, probably than a lot of children are. It's so unfortunate to say. But I wanted to say, so my friends have to go to Kristen Ryan, K-R-I-S-T-E-N. I think that's the way she spells it. Kristen Ryan, I forget what they call their farm, but you got to go to her farm in Freehold and check it out. She's on Facebook.
And where is it?
It's in Freehold, New Jersey. They have lots of farms in Freehold, New Jersey. And I'm forgetting. I can't go anywhere on my phone because I don't want to lose the connection. I had another phone. I should have just kept that on too, but then I can do that. But I don't know. I'm kind of feel like I'm in Jersey, but I'm not supposed to be in Jersey. But I don't know. We could talk for a long time, I think, about so many things. And I apologize for talking so much. Do you talk a lot when you do shows?
I'm trained. I fill in the blanks because, in radio and television, unless you pause for expression, you pause for power. You only pause if you want to make a point powerfully. Other than that, you can't have dead air. You got to always fill in. So I learned real early how to, first of all, I really engage and listen to whomever I'm talking to or interviewing. And a lot of times I'll just completely throw away all the questions I might have prepared in advance because the story we're into now is far more interesting. So I'll just let that go. So what you do is ask a lot of questions. That's all. Just ask a lot of questions. And your question about who influenced you most when you were young, I asked that question of Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was governor of California. And he said, no one has ever asked me that before. And he proceeded to tell a story about his grandmother. And it was fascinating. So, ask a lot of questions. That's how you do that. But, Nancy, if I could give you a tip on how to travel, just go on a walkabout. I mean, especially if everything's closed anyway, or you lost your job because of COVID-19, which is millions of us across the nation now, and you got the extra time, you got the money, because if you're getting unemployment or living off savings, whatever it is, it is so much more beneficial. Yes, exactly. And do you have KOA campgrounds out there?
Go play, you just drive, and then you just walk around?
What's
a walkabout?
I do not plan in advance when I take my trips like that. I go with the flow. And I explore any little town I see. I'm on the freeway, let's say. I try to stay off freeways, but if I'm on a freeway and I see a sign for a little town, has an interesting name, 2 miles this way, I'll go. I'll check it out, even if it's just driving through it. And I love to find little mom-and-pop drive-ins, the hamburger, French fry, kind of, old-school drive-in. Yeah. And so you can find those kind of restaurants still exist in little towns. In big towns and cities, it's everything's McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Burger King.
Yeah,
but
see
if
that
you could find yourself a little mom and pop drive-in, oh, so much better. So what you do, though, is even if you wanted to plan your trip by going to KOA Campgrounds, do you have KOA there?
Do I have what?
KOA. Do you know what those are?
No.
Okay, Campers of America. They're these.
I used to camp all the time. I was a big camper, time camper in my 20s and 30s.
You said your
camper.
Car with a pup tent, but every KOA campground has little cabins that you could rent. And you got to bring your own pillow and sleeping bag because there's not much else in it except these just a couple of beds. And you sleep there. And yeah, KOA campgrounds, KOA. And another tip too, if all else fails and you can't find someplace last night, like I did in Jackson Hole, I was lucky I ran into that guy who gave me that tip, and it turned out to be just a town that I decided, if I'm ever blessed with enough money to do it, I want to live there. I liked it that much. But it's Walmart. I don't know how many Walmarts you have out there, but every single Walmart allows you to camp, allows you to stay overnight, whether you're in an RV or sleeping in your car or whatever it is. Do it at a Walmart because you're much safer. If you're a woman traveling by yourself, you're safer. It's lighted. They have security cameras and usually security patrolling. And it doesn't cost you anything. So if you don't have the money to do it, stay at Walmarts. Then go to the next town that has a Walmart in the other state, the next state.
I'm definitely like I'm a gypsy. I always love traveling. So I've traveled quite a bit. And but now, like I said, I have this little girl here. And so, you know, if I travel now, it would be like I have a great pet sitter, but I don't even – see, if I had two cats – when I have two cats, I don't mind paying $500 a week to somebody to watch my two cats and come in twice a day and spend some time. And I have a gal that does that. But I can't leave this little girl by herself. So she's going to have to come with me wherever I go, and that's going to be a little difficult. But I don't know. I'll figure it out, I guess.
Really?
God will figure it out.
Well, when you stop at your first Walmart to spend the night, go on in before they close and buy yourself one of those little kennels for cats. And that way, you're traveling, if you're –
oh, no, I have the cute – oh, no, the woman that I got it from gave me the most beautiful – oh, she's a princess. She's got a beautiful carry case. It's a Martha Stewart. It's beautiful, red and beige with stripes. Oh, no, she's a princess, my cat. She's got only the best. She's only got only the best dishes, only the best everything. She's boiled. She only drinks purified water. Oh, no, she has the best food, the best everything. So
there you go.
You know, I'll make her a traveling cat. That's all it's going to have to be. She's little enough, which is great. My other two girls, I drove them cross country with my bird, and he loved it. He was a little green sheep conure. He lived to be 22 and a half years old. Their lifespan is between 15 and 20 years. And he would jump down and get on the cats and preen them. He was such a great little bird. They're very small, but they have the mentality of a three-year-old. Oh, I miss him so much. But it's been great talking to you. I knew it would be really interesting. I guess I'll have to have you back on the show in a month or two because I just talked too much. And the whole time I've talked to you, I just have been visualizing it. You, like, when I saw your it, like, gave me the wanderlust. I got that wanting to I just feel like I just, and especially with COVID, I just want to get out of town. I've been like really isolating because I have to. I'm at risk. I'm older. I'm not going to say old, but I'm at that age where you're at risk anyway. And then I have asthma, so that puts me at extra risk. And I just, you know, don't want to take the chance. So I go to ShopRite like at 11 o'clock at night when nobody's there. And I really almost have my own hazmat suit on. I wear a hat. And speaking of Route 66, because my hat says Route 66 Productions on it. It's a company that I was vice president of A&R with. And on the back it says Ryan Rocks. That's my music, who I go by, Ryan Rocks. And I got to tell you this quick Route 66 and then go, because I have to promote. I started this show to give back to my community where I grew up in Asbury Park in New Jersey, the state of New Jersey. So I have like 10 of the best not-for-profits that I support, and I have to give them a shout-out. And
okay.
To my Blog Talk Radio, oh, please don't cut me off. You never have in all these years. I hope you don't. And I should just do an hour instead of 45 minutes. 45 minutes isn't long enough, especially when, you know what it is? I've been, really, no lie, I have been isolating for how long COVID has been. So I've been out of the house to grocery shop. That's it, for a few times. That's all. So I don't, you know, I don't have any, it's not natural for human beings to be isolated like this and be single.
Let me tell you, too, there's no safer place for you to be than outside, in the sunshine, at the ocean, in the mountains, in the foothills, whatever.
Not at this,
driving by yourself.
Not here, not at this ocean.
Get out of the house. The point is,
Charlie,
get out of the house.
Charlie, they're going to close down the beaches again. They're going to close them down because people are on the beaches. They come in from New York City. They come in from Philadelphia. We get so many tourists. I live at the most populated, the best place in the world since the beginning of time when they first had ships and airplanes. People have been coming to the Jersey Shore, to Asbury Park and Long Branch. And these people that come in, and even, and it's not just them, it's the Jersey people too. They're COVID blind. They're walking around without masks. They're not protected. If people were following the mandates and wearing a mask, I would go down to the beach, but they're not. And they'll walk right up to you. They will not do the space, you know. They won't give you your space. They'll walk right up to you, you know, and with no mask and talk to you. I mean, it's like, I've tried to go out socially or to just get out in the air, and it's just not doable. You can't even find a parking space down at the beach this time of year.
Let me ask you this. If the mask is so all fire,
well, it's not
what difference. What difference? Wait. What difference does it make if I'm not wearing one, but you are? What do you care if I'm not wearing one? It doesn't affect you.
Well, if you are, if you have COVID and you don't have a mask on and you come close to me and you sneeze your COVID germs on my mask, it's a risk. I think you're protecting another person. I don't just wear the mask for myself. I wear the mask in case I'm a carrier of COVID. I don't know if I've had COVID or not. I mean, I had for a week. I had like a – I really don't know. I haven't been tested.
If you got yourself a mild form of it, your body has built up antibodies to fight that just like it would any flu virus.
Right.
And you come out of it stronger on the other side. But one more thing. If you have had it, if you are a carrier, that means you're not contagious. You're only contagious if you're in the middle of symptoms, and you're not. You're not feverish. You're not losing your sense of taste, and you're not. It doesn't.
I know.
People who want to wear a mask, wear a mask. People who don't want to wear a mask, if the mask is so all fire effective, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah.
You're wearing
Nobody
one.
Wants to wear- Nobody wants to wear the masks, but I do wear it if I go grocery shopping. I think it's like it's a little it's thing that you should do to protect yourself and to protect others. And so I'll buy it. I was a germophobic before COVID, so I don't even never went to the movie theater because of that. I didn't want to sit next to people I didn't know. So I'm gonna wear the mask, you know, if I go out. And I don't want people walking up to me and starting to talk to me without a mask on because I don't know if they're sick or not, you know? So I don't want to get sick. I don't want to leave this world from COVID. And, you know, young people and even children are getting it now and dying. So I know it's a very controversial subject, but I listen to, and then we got to go because now I'm going so way over. But I watched a girl, this woman, I'm going to ask her to come on my show. Was she on fire? She is listed as a public speaker. Her name is, oh gosh, I wish I had written it down. Did I? Let me see. I'll text you. I'll text the video to you. And she was awesome because she was actually saying some of the things like you were saying. However, and it had to do with a mask situation. And she said, I'm not going to get, and she was very expressive. She said, I'm not getting COVID. I believe in God. I claim it. I'm not unhealthy. I eat what it says to eat in the Bible. I'm not. She said, can you believe this woman? She said, I took my mask down for 2 seconds to just get a little breath of air. I wasn't so distant, socially distanced from her. And she gave me a dirty look and started talking nasty to me. And I kept my cool. I didn't get mad. But she goes, I claim it. And in the name of Jesus, I'm not getting COVID. You know, I protect myself.
Yeah.
I eat the good food. I put my mask on. I'm staying away from people. I'm eating really good food. I can't help it. I shouldn't say this. She goes, but I am. I'm reeling a little bit. She goes, I looked in her cart, and she had a big, you know, those barrels of cheese balls. Those barrels
cheese
of cheese
balls.
Balls.
You got the frozen waffles over here. And
yeah,
don't forget that.
She goes,
we have a whole carton of Hostess Ho-Hos. Look at that. Go get them, baby. And don't forget the Diet Coke.
That's what she was saying. She goes, that's what she was saying. It was so funny. I was laughing. But I think I'm going to have her on my radio show. But she goes around and speaks.
Okay.
So, I don't know. She doesn't list herself as a pastor or a minister. But she talks about the Bible, and she goes to the Bible, and she does the Bible verses. She's got 7 children, and she's really pretty and very young. And I saw a picture of her husband and her whole family. I don't even know where they're from. I forget where she's from. It goes one ear and out the other. Too much information, I think. But I really liked her, and I've had ministers on my show, but I haven't had a female minister on my show. And she's on fire. Oh, and on her page, she had Annie Lennox. And Annie Lennox, I loved her talk. And I really wanted to share it and post it, and then I thought, that's not proper. That's not politically correct to take somebody else's post and post it on your page. I have 3 Facebook pages, and I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, and on Instagram. So, so I didn't do that. But I'm going to invite her to be a guest on my radio show. And hopefully she'll talk. You know, I love Ricky Bird. And he was on my show. He's the lead guitarist with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And I swear, this is true. Ricky, I love you so much, and I love your albums. They're awesome. But I couldn't. I had to yell. I had to go, Ricky, Ricky, it's Nancy. I'm here. Hello, Ricky. And he just kept talking. he talked from the beginning of the show to the end of the show, nonstop.
No kidding.
I'm not kidding.
I'm not kidding. So you never got to ask a question or throw anything in. He literally just did it.
No,
oh,
I
wow. He did a 45-minute monologue.
Yeah, I asked him one question about what I asked you, like who influenced you the most from growing up and why. And after that, and I'm not going to judge at all. Ricky, I love you, Ricky. But I do, because... But it was so funny because, boy, did I get a taste of my medicine. And I was laughing so hard. And I couldn't even believe it, hardly. I couldn't believe it. And his album, this is what happened. And this is, I think, what I guess I'll use this as my excuse. Ricky is on fire. Ricky, and he won't mind if I break his anonymity because he does it all the time, and he with his albums. He did an album, if you get a chance, it's called Clean Getaway. Ricky now got sober in 1987, and he is so on fire. You know, and when they're not on tour, all he does is travels around the country, and he knows everyone. And you know what it is? I never understood that. I mean, I didn't get it really till I listened to his before I had him on my show. I listened. He sent me his two of his his clean getaway, and I want more of them because it's so awesome. He's not only a great, awesome lead guitarist, But he is a singer, songwriter, so awesome. His songs were so unbelievable. And I was dancing in my kitchen listening to the album about his recovery album. Now he's completed his second one. And, of course, he's an iconic artist and guitarist. And I'm telling you, if you ever go – all my shows are archived. So you can just go back and listen. Even before I went with Hamilton Radio, I couldn't believe it. I was gone for 2.5 years. I come back, I go on, and I'm still logged in to my show. And so I was on the radio again in like, you know, a week or two, right back, you know, just doing it from my house instead of having to drive an hour back and forth to do the show at the studio. And I missed that. But anyway, it's nice to have a lot. But people didn't want to drive from New York City and all these places. And it's hard in Jersey. In the summer, it's hot. And in the winter, there's snow. And it's cold. So
yeah.
The weather is a big factor. Being able to do it. I put my lipstick on to do the show. That's it. I put my lipstick. I didn't even brush. I usually brush. I have really long hair to my waist. And I usually comb my hair, put my hair not really nice down. And I have red hair. And I put my lipstick on and my hair, fix my hair. And then I have flip-flops on and, like, pajamas. So, you know, that's the way I like to do my shows now.
And people, right. Excellent.
People on TV are doing them, like, and they're going, oh, do you have pants on? Because, like, they're doing the late shows. And they're drinking. They're drinking on the shows. Like Matthew O'Connell. He lifts up his glass, you know, and then I think it was James Gordon. He lifts up his glass, you know, and they do a toast. And they're drinking, I don't know, it looked like really expensive whiskey to me because I've had my share. Anyway, hey, we'll do another show, okay, Charlie?
Sounds good.
And I promise.
Let me tell you two things I got from doing this, Nancy. One is you just gave me some real affirmation because just a couple of days ago, I had two different people who watched my videos I shot when I was up in Wyoming, and they follow my page and my adventures, and both these women are saying, you need to get yourself an RV, and you need to get yourself a YouTube channel dedicated to that, and you just go and explore and monetize that channel, and you can make great money if you get enough people watching. So,
all right.
I thought, well, that'd be a cool goal. There's my new job. And then at the beginning of the show, you recommended that as well. I'm like, well, there's three.
That's it. That's good. When you hear it three times, that's a definite yes from God. That's like messages.
Too.
But if you ever need a co-host, all I need is a bucket, you just like put the finger up, the pointer finger. That means Nancy, shut the heck up. I'll come along because I love to travel, but I'll bring my little girl with me. She'll get along with doggies, but I would be really up for doing something like that.
Wouldn't it be cool?
I would like to pay you to travel.
Yeah, on the Travel Channel and so on, I'm thinking, man, that's the best gig ever.
Well, Driving Jersey did that. Driving Jersey did that. They might still be doing that. Look, there's money in that. You just need to get sponsorship. That's it. You have to get sponsorship. And that's it. Get somebody to, you know, the more sponsors you get, the more money you make. But, and then I don't really – I retired when I was 55 forever, for life. And so God blessed me with that. And I didn't want to because I had a fabulous job, but making lots of money. But I promised my mom, like I said in the moment of insanity, if you need me, I'll come home. And I did. And now I can go away for a few months at a time where I live now. But I inherited this, like, very affordable place. And I'll put it out there. Oh, I'm single. I'm going to go on, you know what? I'm going to go on some sites in places that I want to move to. You know, I'm going to say this too, and then we got to go, but we could talk forever, Charlie. I had a friend for since I'm 30, and he actually made me a proposal. Like, he said, "You're pretty, you're smart, and you're so talented, and I would like you to be my partner." Now, he's
nice.
one of the top traders in the world. But unfortunately, I realized in communicating with him, and he realized it too, God bless his soul, and I wish him the very best, but like it wouldn't work out. So, you know, as much as we've known each other and had a relationship years ago, that doesn't mean we're supposed to be together. Like, and I said, wait a minute, I'm pretty to you, I'm smart, and I'm really talented. Oh, I talk too much, but you're used to that now. Like he said, you do talk too much, but I kind of know that's just the way you are, and that's probably why you're in radio, he goes. But anyway, I think I talked too much because I wasn't allowed to talk that much when I was growing up. I was the oldest of, like, so many. But in our household, I don't know. It was, like, a lot of music,
I have a lot of friends here in my area, and I'm involved in a Christian ministry called PTLB, which stands for Principles to Live By, and it's all about a Christian singles ministry. And a lot of the folks who are coming to Bridges, is what we call the event, every week, are getting on these different dating sites too. And I think that's brilliant. You get on a dating site and you list the town that you want to go visit, or you want to live there.
Yeah.
But that is your place of residence. Beautiful. And so anybody who's interested in you in that area, you're already going to have a couple of dates set up when you get there, huh?
Well, you could put, look, you can have a, well, I told the truth. So I, you know, people go, oh, everybody lies. Well, no, everybody doesn't lie. And some people might, you know, maybe, what is it, exaggerate. Somebody might embellish. Somebody might tell a little. Oh, come on! You tell little white lies.
Like, well, you know what? I guess you're right. I wouldn't have even thought of that as a lie, because it's the truth that I want to go there. I want to live
there.
That's
what I would say.
Right.
I'll offer. Look, I believe in win-win situations. I would go. I will. Hey, what's wrong with being bi-coastal? I mean, like, you know. I can come there and you can come here. I mean, I don't, you know, whatever. I believe anything is possible with God. So I always say, this is what I was saying to God. See, I that's why I can talk to you so long. I loved it. I loved it that you shared that you were having difficulty when you came to Christ, or when Christ came into your life. Christ has been always in my life, my whole life. So I'm feel so fortunate. And I even posted once, I said, I feel bad for people who don't have a God in their life, because he's such a comfort
too.
To me. But last night
exactly.
I was saying,
I don't...
God, I don't know. I don't know when, but it's up to you. And even with COVID, like, how am I going to meet somebody? Like, how? And so I don't know, but I trust in God. And I am going to, Bridges, are you doing Zoom meetings or in-person meetings?
Yeah. Yeah, both, because out here we can have, as long as the gatherings are no more than a certain amount of people, and the tables have to be spaced, and everything has to be exactly how the CDC
wants
it. So
you're doing Zoom meetings called Bridges?
Yeah, we started off just doing Facebook, but this has been around for several years.
Text me the information, because I got to get off. They're going to cut me off. It looks like they're going, but they're going to get in touch with me and say, now, Nancy... Okay, you've been with us for, like, a long time, but an hour and a half show? That's not acceptable.
my follower, I am so, so absolutely blessed and thankful. And, yes, I am a follower of Christ Jesus. I am a Christian. And I agree with you about, I don't know how people who don't have the Lord actually do it. What drives them?
I don't either.
What hope do
I
they
don't
have?
Either.
What hope do they have? They don't have any hope. I don't see any hope. I mean, if you're thinking, well, this is it. Once I'm done here on this earth, this is it. I have no future beyond this. You have no hope. You're just going to be clinging desperately to life just to cling to life, maybe not even fully enjoying it, just so you can, you know, rack up, oh, just one more day, just one more day. One more day of what? How are you living? Are you living for yourself or are you living for others? Are you living for the Lord? Are you serving? Do you have a servant's heart? Or are you just like, I just want everything for me, and I'm going to have a long life and everybody leave me alone. I don't want to be left alone. I want a few people. Next time we talk, I have a remind me to tell you about my trip to Israel and how that all happened. Because attitude wasn't, it was right while all the suicide bombing was happening after 9/11.
Oh, yeah, because you're in the National Guard, too, right? You're in the National Guard.
Army State Guard, yeah. Here in California.
Yeah, Army Guard. Right.
Let's
do a show because we've got to go. I want to tell you, too, when I drove here, I went off and got on the old, because most of Route 66 is non-existent now, to my knowledge.
I know.
They've done something I don't know about. I got
off
somewhere.
Yeah, you have to take back roads to follow it now.
And I went back onto, and it was like being in old Western town, and it was so exciting. And I went into this old store, and I walked. The guy was way in the back of the store, and I thought he must have mirrors or something to see who's coming in and out. He goes, "Hey, cowgirl, what are you doing?" And I went back, and he knew the minute I opened my mouth, I wasn't from where he was. I don't know where it was, what state it was in, because I drove 40 all the way, and I got off on Route 66 on purpose. And I was collecting all those little pins to put on my hat. I have a hat from where I work, Bodywise International. It was a vitamin and nutrition company that I worked for after the ministries. And anyway, I have a Route 66 little thing from there, from that store that I bought from that store on my hat. But I have every state I bought one of those little, you know, because I stopped and I would just grab one of those. But It was an awesome trip driving. I love driving. I love driving with music way loud.
there you go, right.
But Route 66 was a great experience. And anyway, I got to run because I have to talk about my not-for-profits. Let's just do a show and let's see. I'm going to ask that girl to come on in August. So let's just go for September. I'll put you on in September, like the second Thursday in September. And we'll do another show. And remind me when we start the show, Charlie, just say this. Say, Nancy, I didn't get to talk very much the last show. I always forget to say this. I'm going to make a sign and put it in front of my I'm going to put it on my desk. It's going to say, at the beginning of every show, say to your guests, interrupt me, even though it's not, please interrupt me.
Please interrupt me.
You must interrupt me. Because I did Toastmasters 2 years. I flunked it. You know, I did. I think it's from all that parochial school, too. You could never talk. You could never. I'm trying to make up for a lifetime of not being able to talk. I guess that's what it is.
Well, if you were at parochial school, then I'm sure you're very familiar, and you talked a lot. I'm sure you're very familiar with the ruler.
Yeah, well, you couldn't talk in school. You couldn't. Come on. I could sing.
Did the nun carry a ruler?
No. Yeah, they always carry the ruler as a threat, but I never got hit by a ruler. I got pulled by my ear. You know, I got pulled by my ear. I didn't get hit by a ruler.
Okay, well, my point is, you don't need to make a sign. Just buy a 12-inch ruler and put it in your microphone right in front of the microphone there. Then you'll remember.
I have a lot of rulers, but no, that won't scare me. Nothing much scares me. The person has to say, Nancy, I have to talk now, and then I keep quiet.
Okay.
I tried to explain that to this guy, and, you know, all these, you know, like carrots were being thrown out, like, you know, new penthouse in Puerto Rico, and, like, I don't care how much wealth you have. That never turned me on. I'm not interested in that. I don't need that. I don't want that. I have that myself. I was always independent. I'm the oldest child of a million. My father taught us how to do everything, and I always wanted money. I was working at 14 years old on the boardwalk. I wanted to work, you know? So I don't need anybody man's money. It's nice, but that's not going to make me happy.
No.
That doesn't bring happiness. I mean, come on. I don't know. Maybe that makes some people happy, but then they just want more and more and more. That's what's wrong with this country is greed, 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 greed. You get a new bicycle. So what? 2 weeks later, you're looking at, oh, let's see, maybe I want a Mercedes now. Maybe I want another. It's up more and more, that more sickness.
Oh, my goodness.
Illness.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was married to that for a while.
I don't care. I got rid of, when I left California, within 2 weeks when my mother made that call, I gave Lorenzo I said, you can have everything in my 5-bedroom house. I sold very few things that were very expensive items, and I sold them really inexpensively, like $1,000 item for $200. It was like a giveaway, but it was just like a little extra traveling cash to pay for my gas. I didn't even really need the money, but I thought, you know, let me just sell a few items, and I did. And the rest I gave away. And sometimes I think about those things and I go, oh, yeah, my God, you gave that max away. That was like worth thousands of dollars. Because look, if I do it again, like I was telling my girlfriend today, I said, if I wanted to move now, like which I do, I wanted to get out of Asbury for like 16 years now, Asbury area, and I'm just 12 minutes away. And I said, I would just give it all away. I don't care. I'm not attached. It doesn't mean anything. I'll just get more. I'll go to secondhand stores if I want something. I always went to practical anyway. I'm a very practical girl. And I've had it all. I don't need that stuff. I want a heart for God. I want that first is most important to me. anyway, so we should get off the phone. We can talk another time. But I'm going to send you. So, hey, if you have any recorded music from your past, send it to me. And please send me the information about the Zoom, the bridges, because I'll come on and then they'll, you know, have the egg timer. I've been looking for an egg timer. I cannot find an egg timer. They don't even make them anymore. Because I thought if I had an
probably
egg timer
not,
sitting here, that would help. I can't find an egg timer. That's what I need.
That's too bad. You need that thing.
I don't think that would even work. You know what? I don't even think that would work. I need somebody to just say, hello, my turn.
Need a producer.
An
editor. Train your cat. Train your cat to be a producer. There you go.
See, that's I even produced my album. Are you kidding? I had to do it all. I produced my album. Yeah, and I had John Harrington, who was Steely Dan. He's my lead guitarist. My brother was in Vermont, or I would have had my own brother because my brother is pretty famous. But anyway, here we go again. I gotta promote my not-for-profits. It's been wonderful having you, Charlie. I was going to really
talk too much. It has been wonderful being had. Appreciate the time very much.
I don't know how to take that, Charlie.
You.
Come on.
It's a pleasure meeting you, and I am so glad that you reached out to me and all through my Facebook page. And anybody who's listening and wants to be my friend, send me a request, would you please? Charlie Simons, spelled C-H-A-R-L-E-E, no I, C-H-A-R-L-E-E. And Simons, just one M with an S on both ends, S-I-M-O-N-S. Look me up. I'm the only one. I'll pop up and send me a friend request, and we'll all keep in touch. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, and listen. You can go on all my friends, and you can, like, pick out whatever friends you want. I'll send you my three different pages. No, I'm serious. I have three different pages on Facebook, and I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter, and you can just friend all my friends. Just say I'm a friend
there
of yours, Ryan Fox. Because you are promoted all over the world on 100 group pages. And I think I sent you a copy of, like, in Ireland, people were liking it, like in Portugal, like on Bruce.
Yeah,
Bruce
I saw that. That's nice. That was really nice.
So if you didn't get to talk too much, it's like you got to weigh it, you know. You got great promotion. And another show, which is, you know, I didn't even offer. I never offer second shows. It's rare. Definitely you're on my schedule for September. Hold on, I have my calendar right here. Here, I'm going to put it on. Come on in September, and you can tell us more about your trip. You can tell us that you've progressed in getting on the road and getting sponsors, because you should be able to get sponsors easily for your road trip, because people like that. I mean, I have friends in California that own horses and ride horses, and I watch all their videos. They don't charge for them, of course, but I just do it because it's so much entertainment. And YouTube people are making lots of money on YouTube. They are really making money on YouTube and on Instagram from doing shows. So you just have to, like, start it and just go to some of your local, you know. See, I'm a good producer, too. I produce my whole album. But if you do that, I'm sure you know how to do it, too. So just do it. I would like to hear about your first trip. And you don't even need a trailer to do. Well, yeah, with COVID, you do need a small little trailer. Just even a, you know what, tiny homes. One of my not-for-profits is Minister Steve Brigham of Tent City. He has a tiny home that attaches to your truck. It's unbelievable. I'll send
That's
you a picture
awesome.
Of it. You can't believe it. You can sleep in it. It's got a little kitchen area. You can cook in it with a microwave. You can make your coffee. You climb up on this ladder. It's got a bed in it. You can have your dogs in it. You attach it to your truck, and you carry it. You take it with you instead of a – and then you go into your Walmart for free parking. So you could start this job next week.
There you go.
And they're not that expensive. And I'll put you in touch with Minister Steve, and he can tell you where you can get them, because I think he only paid $2,500 for it. I don't know how much – wait. I don't know how much it costs. I could take that back. I don't know how much they cost. If you know somebody in carpentry, you could probably have it made. And you put a trailer hookup on it. I'm serious. You put a trailer hookup on it. My father was a superintendent of a huge construction company, so I know a lot about that. But and then there you go. You're off. You're off and running.
I've got my little 15-foot aluminum fishing boat, too, so I'll just tow that behind and off we go.
There you go. And you know what? I have a girlfriend, Sharon Lasher, that's doing that right now. She's putting up – she sings on, and she goes to Ireland every year. And she was on her little boat, and I had a boat in California, too. And and she does all these videos, and she's talking, and you would be perfect for that. That's why I asked you to come on my show, only because I saw you riding a horse, doing a road trip. That's why I asked you to come on my show, because these are things that people like to watch and are interested in. All right.
And
I would hope
talk to you later. May God bless you.
God bless you, and I'll promote your new show. And you're coming on. Here's the date. Here's the date. Wait, August, September. Wait, we're in July. So August, I'm going to have the minister on. I think she's a minister. I don't know. She's a public figure. She's coming on my show. And then, because I've gone totally, like, I used to be not controversial, even though I did have a woman senator on.
Yep.
I don't get into my politics at all, because I'm really not very political, but I'm more spiritual than political. But lately I have thrown my controversial stuff out the window. I just gave up on it, because I'm just going to speak my truth. So I'm going to talk more about God. I'm going to talk more about how I feel about people being purple, green, orange, yellow. And I posted a thing that a lot of people – and you know what? And I'll say this to end the show. It was a wonderful having you on the show, Charlie. And I wish you the best in the next journey, because I think it's going to be the best yet in your career. I really do. You might be able to do it a few months and then just stay on your farm for a few months. You might just do your thing from home, you know, and just go out when you want to, you know, and have it be a special feature. So anyway, amen. So September's taken. August. Oh, no, September. The second week in September is the 17th. So I'm putting you down on the 17th. So we'll do another show.
That's the third Thursday in the month, right? I'm looking at it right now. September 17th. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No. No, the second and the 24th it'll be. We'll do it the 24th because I usually do a show the second and Thursday of each month. So we'll do it. Well, maybe I should do it in the middle of the month instead of, since I'm just doing one show a month. Let's do it the 17th.
Okay.
I'm going to start doing my shows the third week in the month. It doesn't really matter. It's promoted everywhere worldwide. It doesn't matter when I do it.
Right.
All right. I got to go, and you got
to
go.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care, Charlie. Hello.
Goodbye,
bye-bye.
Everybody from the West Coast.
Yeah, Sacramento. Okay, take care. God bless. Okay, people, well, that was Charlie. I think this is the longest show that I have ever done. And it looks like it might have stopped. No, it's still recording. Oh, my God, it's still recording. I'm going to have to say part one and part two, listen, if you want to. But these are all archived, so you can go on anytime you want. But these are my not-for-profits, and that's why I started the show in the first place, is because I wanted to give back. And I gave back musically for sure, and I still am free. Oh my God! Sometimes I think I'm stupid doing that. I have so many downloads on my album; it's insane. But anyway, here they are: Gregory and Karen Nixon of Helping Hands of New Jersey, Minister Steve Brigham, my very close friend, Tent City of Lakewood. It's no longer Tent City because they bulldozed it. Unfortunately, there were 100 people, homeless people, living in the woods, and they were living there for many years. But now it's called Lakewood Outreach, and you can reach him. He's on Facebook, Steve Brigham, and he is an ordained minister for 20 years. He's such a great, awesome minister. Art Ackerman, City of Angels Recovery Radio. Michael Schwartz, Hometown Heroes. We have Kim Guiadango, and she's the president and CEO, the former lieutenant governor of New Jersey, and she is with FOFIL. I still call it the Monmouth Ocean County Food Bank because I've been promoting them since it was the Monmouth and Ocean County Food Bank, but it's called FOFIL now, FULFILL. Paul A. Ressler, president and CEO of TUPAC, which is the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation. And it's another wonderful. All of these people have been on my radio show. I think they got to talk a little more than Charlie. No, I'm sorry, Charlie. They probably didn't. But anyway, Mr. Tim McClune, founder of Holiday Express and Restaurateur. Mr. McClune, he is just a fantastic person. And he owns at least a minimum of 13 restaurants. So give some prayers for Tim because this is a really tough time for him with all of his restaurants. But he is, for 25 or over years, he is a founder of Holiday Express, where all of these wonderful musicians from New Jersey and the surrounding areas go. And they sing in hospitals, they sing in prisons, they sing everywhere, all of the holidays, Christmas and Easter and all of the holidays and other times too. And it's just a wonderful organization. Here we go. I have to turn the page here. I don't know them by heart. I should by now. Philip Richards, director of the Jersey Shore Rescue Mission in Asbury Park on Memorial Drive. And that's nine, and so I need to do a new. I'm going to try to – I should have had them for years now. So I'm going to give a shout-out to the Soul Kitchen in Red Bank, which is run by our wonderful Mr. John Bon Jovi and his wife. I've had his cousin on, Jody Joseph Bon Jovi, on my show, and I've been meaning to reach out to him forever, and I always get sideswiped. But I want to talk to them, and I have a very good friend of mine, Eric Klein, who goes, Nancy, just call them up. Come on. You know that they'll be happy to, they'll be happy for you to give them shout-outs. So those will be my 10 not-for-profits. The Soul Kitchen will hopefully be my next not-for-profit. And I do have a few sponsors, and I just started doing this a few years ago because I really needed to do something. And I actually reached out because I was told, call this person, And it was actually a wellness center. It was a chiropractor in a wellness center. And so it was Dr. David Marin, and he's a chiropractor, and called the Marin Wellness Center in Shrewsbury, New Jersey. They do therapy, and they physical therapy and acupuncture, and they do therapeutic massage, and I highly recommend him. And so he's like a sponsor for my radio show, because he was it was kind of like a barter as far as that's what it is. I'll just come out with it. It's just a barter where, you know, he will take my insurance, and then I won't have to pay exorbitant prices to have physical therapy when I need it. So I thank you, and I continue to love Dr. Marin. He lets me come back if I need him, if and when I need him. Dr. George Peck of the Peck Center in West Orange, he is a plastic and reconstructive surgery. It's a surgery center, actually. And I had some nasal problems, and so I went to him because he's supposed to be the best in the country, in the country. Well, no, Dr. Nassif. Uh-oh, I shouldn't say that, because this is my – he's in Hollywood, California. But next to Dr. Nassif, I'm sure he's a runner-up, or maybe running with, I should say, reconstructive surgery for your nasal passages, because I had a terrible accident years ago. And then my latest sponsor is Dr. Ronald Chicklin, and he is a dentist, and he's in Ocean, New Jersey, and he's a wonderful dentist, and he's also a friend of a friend, which also makes it extra special. All these people were kind of sent to me through friends, so everybody needs that song, like Friends, because friends help you in so many ways. Sometimes you don't realize it until the after fact, how beneficial they are if they recommend something. So I'm hoping my show was a good show tonight, and I'm hoping that my friend Charlie, suggested that other people have already suggested is get on the road, like Willie Nelson says, like, on the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again. Anyway, that's enough of my singing on my own show here. So with that, I'm going to say good night. Thank you for listening. Until my next show, take care. Love you all. God bless everybody. Stay safe and healthy. Bye-bye.